I'll read the foundation text again, starting at verse 5 of Galatians chapter 3. He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law, by the hearing of faith. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. The scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel to Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Now, I told you that word faithful there translates directly believing Abraham. All right? I'm telling you that for a reason. All right. Now, we're talking basically about Abraham and the living in the supernatural. That's what we're talking about, living in the supernatural. And we're in this area that we call, the subtitle is, One Thing is Needful. One Thing is Needful. All right, let's see where we're going to start here. Faithful Abraham. Faithful Abraham. God blessed Abraham. And if you follow it on down, you'll see that he blessed, Abraham passed that blessing on to Isaac. And Isaac passed that blessing on to Jacob. And as we go on down, the Bible says in Galatians 3:13 and 14, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on his tree, so that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now, that blessing is powerful, even more powerful than it was on Adam in the garden. Now, that blessing was the same thing, the same ability, power, anointing that God used to create this earth. He gave that blessing to Adam. Now, how did he do that? The Bible says in Genesis 1:26, God said, let us make man in our own image after our likeness and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle and over all the earth and every creeping thing that creepeth upon this earth. Then in chapter 1, verse 28, he said in Genesis, and then God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon this earth. Now notice what he said, and God blessed them. Now he wasn't communicating when he said, and God said. He wasn't talking. He was transferring the blessing. He was transferring the power. See? Now, what is that power going to do? It's going to give Adam the ability to do what God did at the beginning, except Adam's going to be an under ruler of God and going to be able to plant the heavens in the earth. Lord have mercy, I'm preaching. Isaiah 51. Isaiah 51, you know, if the church only knew how powerful it is, I think we'd talk different, walk different, look different, think different. Isaiah 51, let's start at verse 1. Hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord, look unto the rock which you are hewed, and to the hole of the pit wherein ye were digged. Look unto Abraham, your who? Father, and to Sarah that bare you, for I called him alone. A lot of time we try and take a bunch of folk with us. I called him alone and blessed him. Watch this. And increased him. For the Lord shall comfort Zion. Zion, symbolic of the church. He will comfort all her waste places and he will make her wilderness like Eden, and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving and the voice of melody. You remember the first place he led Abraham? He took Abraham. He said, Abraham, come out from among your kindred, your tribe, and your father's house into a land that I'm going to show you. Got it? And Abraham left and went. Now, Abraham didn't have a brochure, didn't have a map, and he left. He went, and the first place he got to was dry. And what did he do? He didn't stay there. What did he do? He went down to Egypt. Why? Because that land up there, it didn't look fit for habitation. But he didn't understand the power of the blessing that was on his life. You got what I'm saying? God's going to lead us places sometime that look like a wilderness, look like a slum, look like not fit for habitation. But the blessing that is on our lives will make it into a Garden of Eden. Well, y'all got to get that. And look here, it's not hard. It's not hard. You see, the things of God are not hard because they're by grace. They're not by natural ability or natural works. You follow what I'm saying? And as we jump into grace and understand grace, we can speak things. I said we can speak things. We can come into a place and decree a thing and it shall be established. Now, you got to know who you are now. You can't move into that kind of inheritance if you still think you just old sinner saved by grace. No. You were an old sinner. You've been saved now, and you're raised up and seated together with him in heavenly places. You follow what I'm saying? Folks, I'm hoping to go to heaven. You're already in heaven. Come on, get a revelation of it. You're already seated there. That's why you can do what you can do, because a kingly anointing is on you. You can speak things in places and go where you got to go and watch something happen in that place. That's if you got faith. That's if you're like believing Abraham. Is this the right bunch I'm talking to? All right, so here, he said in verse 16, I'll just read it just for your edification. And I have put my words in thy mouth, and I have covered thee in the shadow of my hand, that I may plant the what? Heavens, and lay the foundation of the earth, and say to Zion, thou art my people. When he told Moses to build a tabernacle in the wilderness, where was the pattern of the tabernacle? Where did the pattern come from? Came from heaven, from God. Everything that you're doing in this earth has already been done. Everything. What you need to find out is what God has already done. The problem comes when you walk it in a way he didn't tell you to walk. All right, say amen to this. And you're going to find that what he's planned for your life is much bigger than what you think you can do. And the reason why it's much bigger is because you're much bigger on the inside than you are on the outside. And the tendency is for us trying to do it on the outside. All right, now, so as we went through this, we are blessed with faithful Abraham. And we start talking about some of the aspects of that blessing that Abraham had on him. Come on back to Revelation chapter 5, please. Verse 11. And I beheld and heard a voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast of the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive what? Powers and what else? Riches and what else? Wisdom and what else? Strength and what else? Honor, what else? Glory, and all of these are your heritage. Heritage is something that you've been born into. You didn't have to do anything for it. You were just born into it. You were born into riches. You were born into power. I'm not talking about human power. I'm talking about something that is way above human power. You were born into blessing. There's no S on that. All right, so let's keep going here. So we're talking about living in the supernatural. So you and I have been designed to live independent from this world, meaning that we're in the world, but not what? Of the world. And also, glory to God, no matter what the situation was, the main resource that Jesus had to operate with in this earth was faith. And supernatural teaching yields supernatural results. So I've got to teach you the supernatural. Say amen to that. So now, as we look at this, for you to get into that supernatural, you have to understand, we showed you, that Jesus said, it is not me, but it's the Father in me, he doeth the work. So our job is to believe that the Father in me is going to do the work. So I don't have to believe I can do it. I'm going to believe that he can do it. It said, with God, all things are possible. Not without God, all things are possible. With God. So what we said is sometimes people are trying to come to places or stay in churches where they don't have to use any faith. And that's one of the most dangerous places you can be, where you don't have to use your faith, because your faith then will be, it's like a muscle. It starts getting weak. You got to use faith. And it starts getting weak. And when it starts getting weak, if the devil shows up on your front door, you want to have some faith to resist it. Say amen to that. And so when I tell you, hey, we're going to believe God that we're going to raise enough money to buy TV equipment or whatever we're going to pay off or whatever have you, some people, oh, Lord, he's talking about money again. I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about faith. And what you got to understand is that's why I told you, listen, you don't have to go on your Christmas money. You don't have to do anything like that. Every time I told you that. Why? Because there's plenty in Daddy's house. And all you got to do is extract some of your riches that are already in the invisible realm, more than you can spend in a lifetime. Man, don't make me preach this. So what am I saying? So because the church has been operating like that, now the world has gone without. So the world tries to come up with its own answers. Say amen to that. Because it doesn't have a model. It doesn't have people who are establishing the principles of the kingdom so that they don't have to suffer like they're suffering. So they come up with stuff and so forth. But remember, things got so bad that the smartness of Egypt could not handle the famine. That here was a famine coming, and I don't care how smart those Egyptians were, and they had some that was smart, brother, because they came up with embalming, they came up with astrology, they could take those stars and so forth, they knew some stuff, but they could not stop that famine. And I'm saying you got some PhDs, but they can't stop what's coming economically. And they're trying to come up with casinos and everything to stop it. But you, brothers and sisters, this thing is coming with such force that only the church can stop it, because they got the blessing on their life and know how to stop this thing. But when they're not stepping up to the plate, then they come up, people coming up with their own ideas. I'm not coming down on them. I'm just saying they're trying to do what they can do. But you know the Bible said in Proverbs 14, there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end of that way is going to be death. Boy, I'm preaching good, better than you said amen now. So, God wants the gospel out there. And he wants it out there with evidence. Say amen to that. And you know, and I know, let me just show you something. I'll show you this, and this is no charge. Come on back over to Luke chapter 5. Come on, Luke chapter 5, real quick. I got to whip on through this now. Luke chapter 5. Let me know when you get to Luke chapter 5. Praise God. All right, now this is when Simon Peter had a business. He's in the fishing business. And It says in verse 1, and it came to pass that the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God. So they were listening at Jesus as he was preaching. And he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. He stood right on the shoreline. And he saw two ships standing by the lake, and fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered in one of the ships, which was Simon's. And he prayed him that he had thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. And when he had left speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Draught means great increase. Say increase.
Increase.
All right. Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night. Now that's doing it in your own strength. All right. And the system that you're operating in right now, this economy, is a result of the intellectual processes of man. It's something that we have tried to put together to make things happen. And thank God it served a purpose for a while. But you're coming into a place where what you've, the situation that we've got and the problems that are coming are not going to be able to be solved on the same level that we are right now. We're going to have to go to another level. Say amen to that. He said, but nevertheless, at thy word, I'll let down the net. And when he had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and the net broke. And they beckoned to their partners, which in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. Now watch this. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, I'm a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of fishes which they had taken. Now why was he astonished? Because he saw the great increase. He saw more fish come out in one haul than he's ever seen come out in all of his days of fishing. He has never seen results like that in a business. Say amen to this now. And all those that were with him. And look what it says, verse 10. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee. They were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and did what to it? Followed him. Now this is interesting. Because God never intended for you and I to coerce anybody to come into the kingdom. Never intended it. He never intended for us to be up begging somebody and so forth. Never intended. He intended for a miracle. He intended for the word and the deed to go forth. And it established a platform sufficient enough to witness to anybody about this God. Say amen to this. Let the word do the work. I said, let the word do the work. That platform that you're sitting on, somebody's supposed to see something in your life and say, wait, how'd you do that? Say, well, you got a minute? Got lunch? Got time for lunch? Yeah, praise the Lord. You got time? Hey, they don't want to hear about that God. But it's tough to try to witness to them. You know, and we bouncing tracks and car won't start and so forth. Come on now, don't. I'm going over here. And are you following? He planned for them to see a demonstration of the Spirit and a power so that their faith will not rest in the wisdom of natural men, but in the power of God. Somehow we've cut the power out and trying to debate somebody to come into the kingdom. Folks, one miracle is worth 1,000 sermons. And you'll see what it did with Peter. Peter was cussing. Peter was all kinds of, Peter fights you, brother. But notice what that miracle did. It brought that heathen to his knees and made him want to come into what you got. And I'm telling you, we haven't gotten some of the movers and shakers out there because they're still waiting to see something. Well, they about to see it. Things about to change. because preachers like me gonna preach the impossible. We gonna preach the supernatural. I didn't mean to preach that hard here. Well, somebody over that way want to hear something, praise the Lord. All right, now, okay. All right, let's go back to Galatians. God is having you to create a platform sufficient enough that you can tell others about your God. Okay, Galatians chapter 3. All right, look what it says here. Ooh, Lord Jesus. You ain't preaching. That's why you can say that's all right. That's all right. Praise the Lord. You're just sitting up there enjoying it. And that's all right. I'd do the same thing if I was in your place. All right. Here was verse 7. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the who of Abraham, children of Abraham. Look at verse 9. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful or believing who? Abraham. All right, let's see how he was blessed. Coming over to Genesis chapter 24, please. All right, look at Genesis chapter 24. Have you got it? Look at verse 1. And Abraham was old and well stricken in age. Let me stop right there. Abraham was old. Come on. I'm trying to help you now. See, we got to understand, when you read it, it's gospel. You know, I was thinking about this marriage, you know, and it says, you know, Adam and Eve, and talk about in Adam, God made Eve. And he brought her before Adam, and Adam and Eve became one. He would cleave to his wife. Didn't it say that? And it said Adam and who?
Eve.
Say it one more. Say it one more time. Eve. Isn't that what it said, though? And then it said over there, Jesus was preaching. He said, what God has put together, let no man put asunder. Well, that's what God put together. He didn't put together Steve. He put together Eve. Now, wait a minute. Hold it. It's according to how you believe. But the Bible is the foundation of our truth. Am I right about it? So Abraham was old. Well, how old was he? How old was he when he died? 175 years old. Say 175 years old. So if anybody ever asks you that question, trivia or not, you'd be able to answer. All right? Now, what we talked about in here was interesting because he was blessed. He's indicating how we should be blessed. That we were not blessed to die young. Now, somebody might say, well, what if I'm in the military? Makes no difference. The covenant of God protected them even on the battlefield from even getting a scratch. The smallest village in Israel could defend themselves against the biggest armies that came against them. Why? Because they weren't fighting in their own strength. They were fighting with Jehovah as their battle axe, Lord have mercy. Or he was the one fighting their battles for them. My point to you is that you need to study the covenant Because as God blessed Abraham, he's blessing you. He at least that good because you're under a better covenant. Now, saints of God, Abraham took God's name. In other words, his name was Abram, but God changed it into Abraham. He came into covenant with God, and God gave him part of his name. That part was Ham. In the Jewish Torah, they don't pronounce that because it's considered too holy. And so it's pronounced with breath. Abraham. So today, as we come in covenant, a man and a wife, she takes on his last name. Why? Because now they are not two, they are one. Is this okay if I say this? Now, you know, society trying to change everything, so just don't pay no attention to that. We're talking about the Bible now. We're talking about. All right. So how was he blessed? And all you have to do is look on down, because not only did he have the blessing, but now Isaac had the blessing. Now Jacob had the blessing. Now under that blessing, you made me leave my happy home. Now, okay, that's keep going. Good. Now, in this. This blessing, it was on Jacob. Well, what happened with Joseph? His brothers schemed on him, sold him to a traveling band of merchantmen named Ishmaelites. Remember, the system of the Babylon is buying and selling. The system of the kingdom is sowing and reaping. So now they bought it, took him on down to Egypt and sold him. Now, they did not tell him he was dead. They just brought evidence. Stay with me. They just brought evidence. But was he dead? No. They dipped that coat of his into some blood from an animal, took it to Daddy, and Daddy assumed that he was dead. Now, what Daddy didn't do was check the covenant. Because the covenant says he can't kill my son. Now, this is its key for you and I to know. So 1 Corinthians, please, and chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Now, I want to get into meditation today. Because that is key for you taking your promises. You got to understand how to meditate the Word of God. See, I want to teach you some practical stuff. Because I want you to be so that you're strong, man. Whatever comes, it'll be under your feet. Look at verse 13. There is no temptation taking you but such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it or endure it. Now, watch this. Such as common to man. You see that? Underline it. It means that God will not allow Satan to tempt you outside of your five physical senses. That anytime Satan tempts you, he's gonna tempt you with something that you can see, feel, touch, taste, and smell. He's not gonna tempt you supernaturally. Now, when you come against him, your weapons are not carnal. but mighty, come on, through God for the pulling down of his stronghold. So you can go into the supernatural and deal with him, but he can't tempt you in the supernatural. Got it? So he's going to come at you with something that will arouse your senses. It's good. You're going to feel it. You're going to touch it, taste it, smell it, see it, something. But it may be a fact, but it's not true. I said it may be a fact, but it's not true. Say amen to that. So what happened is when the evidence comes your way, it may come from a professional source. Thank God for them and all the learning they have. However, obviously their wisdom doesn't go far enough, because if it did, you wouldn't have medication that you could take, but it has side effects of kidney shutdown, heart attacks, like eye glow, whatever have you, because they're doing the best they can. Don't come down on them. Know that you got a physician that never lost a case. The only physician the children of Israel had was Jehovah. He said, I am your physician. Whatever you got, I will heal you. But not only that, it's for Abraham and his seed. It's for you and your children. God didn't promise you that you would have stillborn or so forth and so on. Now, I'm not coming down on anybody if you've suffered something like that. I'm just telling you, God has a promise that now when you go back to that promise, you can say, wait a minute, what I have is going to come to term, and that this child is going to grow. They're not going to get shot over here. Even if they go on the battlefield, the angels are going to protect them. Now, don't look at everybody else, because everybody else don't believe. Say amen to this. I'm giving you this so you'll understand that this is for those who will believe. You can grow and not get short life or whatever have you. But look what it says here. I want you to see this. Turn to Job chapter 1, please. Job chapter 1. Glory to God. Woo! And I'm telling you, Job chapter 1. I need about 8 hours to get this thing in here. Job chapter 1. Look at the devil, how he's speaking to God. Look, watch this. Verse 9, and Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear you for naught? Watch this. Has not thou made a hedge about him? That's him. And about his who? House. That's them. And about all that he has? That's property. That's businesses. Come on now. Everything on every side. On every side. Now, wait a minute. Put something right there. What happened? Turn to Ecclesiastes, please. And Ecclesiastes and chapter 10. What happened to Job? Glory to God. Isn't this wonderful? See, I'm building you up so Satan can't steal nothing from you. Remember, religion always puts you in a place of non-resistance. I remember when I was just saved, thank God I was saved, but I wasn't knowledgeable. And the person in the choir got sick. Her daughter got sick. And I said, Lord, she was really sick. I said, Lord, don't let this come on her. I said, Lord, I'll take it. Put it on me. She can't handle that. And do you know what I got? Come on, I'll give you 3 guesses. The first 2 don't count. I got sick as a dog. What happened? Jesus bore that. But I was sincere, but I was sincerely wrong. The enemy is trying to play on ignorance. He did it on Eve, and he's trying to do it with us. But we are not going to be ignorant of his devices. Say amen to this. Look what it says in Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 8. He that diggeth a pit shall fall into it. But whoever breaks a hedge, the serpent will do what to him? Had not God made a hedge about Job? Yes. Watch this. And he's made one about you. Yes. Got it? Now, what's the difference? We got to not only hear it, but renew our minds. We have to transform our belief by meditation. Your boundaries are not outside. Nobody outside can stop you from reaching your destiny. Your boundaries are where? Inside. I don't care how much you shout. Oh, praise the Lord, cotton made us rich. Glory to God. Can you give me $25 to Tuesday? Why? Because your mind is not renewed. But we're going to touch every base. We're going to fix everything that need to be fixed. We can do it, saints. Let's go to one more place. Let's go to Luke chapter 10, please. Look at verse 38. Now it came to pass as they went that they entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Watch this. But Martha was coming about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she come and help me. Jesus answered and said, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary has chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. What is the good part? The Word of God. What is the one thing that's needful? The Word of God. Now, next time, also, I'm going to show you how you can take the Word that He's given you, because this Bible contains every promise that will meet every need in your life. Now, how do you take those promises and make that dream come true? We need to talk about that, but I'm going to tell you now, it's all in the Word of God. See, if Mary had met, Martha had been thinking, she'd have gone in there and fixed one hot dog. Say amen, somebody. Beef hot dog now, kosher beef. And put that thing before Jesus and say, multiply that rascal. I'm going to hear the word praise. Yeah. Give the Lord a praise. That's all we got.